So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45. We'll do a little triple option. I think we'll be back at 6:10, too, to do our pick six segment. So we'll all the way up until 8 o'clock tonight. Man, let's hit it right off the bat because a lot of things fast and furious with transfer portal signees by LSU. And it's time now for our latest on LSU football and the transfer portal guys that are coming and gone. And all this is brought to you by the spirit of First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. On our talk and text line, we have on with us from Are You Serious Network, Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining this afternoon.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Blake, before we get into anything on the new signees, I'll ask you about a guy that apparently has come in and has spoke to LSU. I think they hosted him today, John Henry Daly, who I got to watch quite a bit at Utah. Pass rush defensive end, guy can run the field extremely well. Interesting player. Put up some big numbers for the Utes this year. He started out at BYU. His dad was at BYU. He's got a brother that has played college football. But he's got an interesting uncle, Taysom Hill. So tell us what you heard about John Henry Daly and about the visit today. But John Henry Daly, the edge rusher from Utah, his uncle is Saints all-purpose and one of one, Taysom Hill.
You know, Mike, I heard Lane Kiffin, who's very unique in a lot of things he does, and I use that word unique. I heard that he tried to get both of them on campus at the same time to try to sell this deal. But nevertheless, you're right. I mean, absolutely fantastic player. Had 17 and a half tackles for loss last year. Mike, he's a triple threat is what I would call him. Really good in the run game, really good with his hands, really good with leverage. Had 11 and a half sacks last year in the Big 12 and dominated pretty much everybody he played. Mike, I think the biggest thing for me was in watching him this year, four games of double-digit sacks, part of those games, and so he's a really, really good player. Mike, in this one, they're going to be fighting Michigan off with a stick. John Daly did go back to Michigan today from what I was told. So, Mike, I really don't know how great LSU sits in a position there for him, John Henry Daly, but they definitely went after it. You know, Mike, I didn't think when John went to Michigan the first time and came down to LSU, I didn't even think they would get him on a visit, to be blunt with you. But he's back at Michigan from what I was told. And, Mike, they're trying here because they think he's a really, really good player. And look, they brought in five edge guys within the last 2 days. Jordan Ross is here. Cam Coleman's been here. They're trying to get back on a visit for a second time. So, Mike, they brought in a lot of guys, and I saw your tweet earlier today about Jalen, about what you thought of him and Malik Blockton. They're bringing in a lot of guys here. I think John Henry, Mike, I really think that one's going to be extremely tough for them in this one, but they're really trying for a really good player, and they're going to really have to fight off Michigan.
All I can tell you is John Daly can play. I mean, he can flat out play. Ooh-wee, man, he plays like his hair's on fire and he's trying to put it out on every play. He's after you pretty good. Malik Blockton, I've watched probably more than everybody, only because SEC guy, he started every game this year, played a ton of football. And I can see he's a lower body power guy, really good athlete, 8.5 tackles for losses the last 2 years. He's got really good penetration skills. The one thing with him is, man, he is going to have to get with Coach Sterling and Coach Peoples, learn how to use your hands and arms better. He's trying to beat people right at the point of attack with his power and from the lower body, but you got to learn how to use your arms and hands better, or his numbers would be better. But I look at him as more as an interior guy that, man, that gives a lot of people trouble because you out-athletic an interior guy with Blockton, especially if he can learn how to play with good technique.
Without a doubt, Mike, you're spot on there. I mean, and look, I thought there were times even at Auburn, you know, when he did play with his hands at a high level, that's where all the disruption came from. You know, I think of I'm pretty sure, please don't quote me on this, I'm pretty sure it was that A&M game where he had a couple of big stops, and that game was really close with Auburn and Texas A&M. And Mike, he didn't make a quote-unquote play, but you can see on the film where, I mean, he's blowing things up in the backfield and being very disruptive in the run game. And look, you, Mike, you're one of the best at doing this in reference to breaking down players and things like that, and you're spot on there. And he's going to have to learn to use his hands, and they're going to have to get with him on that. And, Mike, I thought the same thing in reference to kind of the vice versa with Steph Green a little bit. Has been really good with his hands. Mike, it's been bringing that lower half that he needs to. So I think a very versatile guy there. And Mike, I think here's the thing, too, that at least number one I've been told, but number two, kind of what they're just doing by their actions. Look at all the guys that they have right now. And I know Buddy Mathis hit the portal or is hitting the portal, but you got two young studs that you can put in there along with some more experienced guys, and you bring back Don McKinley. And if I'm Don McKinley, hey, man, you better put in the work this offseason, too. So a lot of experienced pieces there, Mike, with a lot of things that you can work with. It's just getting them to that next level that is a big deal there.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Okay, they got their first commitment from a transfer offensive lineman. Jaquan Sprinkle has started, I think, his 24 games. I think he's played in 27 at North Carolina Central now. Everybody's saying, give me a breakdown, man. Listen, I got to go back and watch film of this guy. I do know he has that part of it I haven't gotten yet, but I know he has started at both right guard and right tackle, and I think he's a right-sided guy there. And I would think just by just a little bit of intel I have on him, he's a right-sided guy. He's either going to play right guard or right tackle. That's what he's done at North Carolina Central. But I think this is one of a number of offensive linemen we'll see over the next few days.
Without a doubt, Mike. Michael DeBose is also on campus, can play guard, can play tackle too. He's more of a left side guy, to your point. You know, like, I mean, the times that he took a snap at Bama was at left guard. And look, Sterling Lucas, again, I know that Eric Walford and James Craig, you know, are here, but it was the connection with Sterling Lucas that led him here. And from what I gather, Sterling Lucas says, hey, this guy's in the portal, take a look at him. And Mike, a guy that, I mean, I'll send you a screenshot, Mike, of what I'm watching right now, and it's him, because I didn't really know much about him either. From what I can tell through seven plays that I've seen since we joined this call, Mike, go watch his footwork. I mean, this is, you know, maybe a little bit on the lighter end, but he definitely uses his footwork really well, and his pad level's been really nice. Looks like he loses it there. Other than that, Mike, I don't really know much about him. I'm sure that they've evaluated him, but that you and I both know, and the entire LSU fan base know, we need offensive linemen, and we need guys that can play and play right away. How difficult is it, you know, to jump from the level that he was at to the SEC? I'm sure it's a massive one. But the last time James Craig was a part of LSU and they got a guy from a lower tier. The guy's name was Damian Craig. How did that work?
Yep.
You know, and I'm not trying to compare that, but they have done a really good job. They did a really good job at Ole Miss, too, now. Look at their starting guard right now. A guy that nobody knew of coming out of the FCS level, and he's starting right now, and he's making a really good name for himself. So we'll have to see. I haven't watched enough of him either, Mike, for me to come in here and say, hey, I know everything about this guy. But go watch his footwork, and he works with some really good pad level here.
Well, if he can move his feet and he can move his hands, I'm all for that. The kicker from Arkansas, Scott Sturrock, very consistent kicker. And listen, playing in Arkansas, sometimes that's not the best weather situation in the world that you're kicking in. Man, believe me, my brother was there. So I can tell you, some of those weather conditions in November is not the best in the world. But this was an area that I wanted to keep an eye on because, man, you don't bitch about your kicker till he starts to miss. And the one thing about Scott is he has been very consistent inside 45 yards, and that's what you're looking for. People say, oh, give me the long, the real strong-legged kicker. No, give me the guy that can be consistent inside 45 yards. It's great you can kick a 50 and be 50-50 with it. Give me the guy that hits it 9 out of 10 from inside 45 yards at the collegiate level.
And as a freshman, too, with a big, 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 big leg. Mike, that 53-yard kick that he had was into, you can hear Dave Neal talking about it on the telecast. He's like, and guys, we got 20-mile-an-hour winds. And I was like, no wonder I miss ducks when I go up to Arkansas and start hunting.
Yeah,
so
I
mean, it just, right, you know, I mean, look, big leg. I got to give Joe Houston a lot of credit, Mike. On Bill Connelly's SP+, Florida's been number two when it comes to special teams, not punt return. But special teams outside of that, SP+, they're at number two. Look, their field goal kicker this year for Florida, the way that they punted the football at a high level, Mike, with no returns. There was a four-week span this past year where they had no returns, and they punted the football a lot. So, look, Joe Houston's been really good at this and done a really high level. You know, he's another part, Mike, of this whole thing with Belichick, Nick, and with Lane Kiffin to this point. He's been on all three of their staffs here. He did a really good job at Florida. And in reference to the kicking game, look, Damian Ramos, with all due respect for him, Mike, was not consistent enough inside the 45-yard line. And, look, you need points. Points are points are points inside the SEC, and you're so right on that. You've just got to be consistent. Anything outside of 50 is laying out. Getting inside the 45 and then being able to hit those kicks is always going to be a massive deal here. And he's definitely done it at Arkansas. With Mike, let's just be honest. That wasn't consistent. And with the number two kicker in the country coming out of high school a season ago, so you can land a really big one. And, Mike, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if they're completely done there. And you heard me there correct. Mike, on these special teams guys now, you're going from an 85 scholarship limit to 105 scholarship limit. That changes a little things for these position groups where you only have one scholarship guy. So I don't know if they're completely done there at that position. Maybe they get a guy that's a freshman, that's a developmental guy, maybe a big boom guy, but we'll see.
Blake, I wanted to hop in here and ask you about the Damon Williams situation, Washington quarterback, Lane Kiffin connection there. And it feels like if you had told me last Friday that we would be basically almost a week into the portal window and LSU didn't have any type of resolution on their QB1, that probably wouldn't have been the greatest sign. But it's also been a very complex situation, to say the least, with Damon Williams. I just want to get the latest on him. I know that his representatives have recently dropped him as well. But a player that had recently signed an NIL, re-upped an NIL contract with Washington and then tried to enter the portal, and the whole situation with Washington potentially suing to prevent him from doing so. It's been definitely something to follow, but also the connection with Lane Kiffin and LSU.
Yeah, well, number one, you know, I'm not trying to get political here, but the one thing I thought Jeff Landry said in the beginning of all of this was accurate. Agents representing coaches and players is not a great deal. The Westerman Group represents Jed Fish in this too. So they're going to stay with a head coach that they potentially can make more money with. So I don't find this him being brought by Westerman a big deal at all. What I do want to monitor is him signing the attorney who teaches at Miami, teaches NIL law at Miami. And look, are they going to Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary this thing to be able to get in these sweepstakes? In reference to the connection, guys, I think we all know why we're here. We're all here because of what's going on and what happened with Xavier Lucas, and we're finding loopholes. Ross Dellinger reported the other day that they're planning on changing the calendar because of Lane. Are they going to change this now because and things that are going on there, if they even can, because of what's going on with Xavier Lucas and now with Damon Williams? In reference to the representation, I don't have it. I mean, he's representing Jed Fish. I'm not an attorney. I would just say, like, look, I'm reading what everybody else is reading. Looks like that they don't might not even have a standing on that. So we'll see. I'll tell you this. If you talk to anybody up at their building, I mean, they're going to tell you that they feel pretty confident about where they stand. From what I gather, they are, you know, waiting to make sure that everything's perfectly lined up so that they can, quote unquote, bring him in officially. And I would expect that to be within a week, if not very much shorter, that he's here. And guys, I just got to be honest. I don't, you know, from a money aspect, they're going to do everything to make sure he doesn't leave. And look, I said this 12 days ago. You can go look on our YouTube. We did a whole segment about this, about me hearing that he was going into the portal. I said then, I'll say 12 days out after this. I think to me, he's the best player in the transfer portal because of the position he plays. I think he's that good. You got to go get him. So let's see if they do, and you know, we'll go with the legal stuff as the legal stuff goes on. But the Jed Fish thing, come on. I don't know. I mean, you can't have that conflict of interest, which he did have. With that being said, I feel that, you know, some things that I hear, they feel good about where they sit. Miami's going to always be a big player in this because they were always a big player in this and him getting in there.
No question, Blake. And to be honest with you, I've talked to three attorneys who know a lot more about it than I do, and they tell me he will never play one game at Washington. Never. Mm. That ship has sailed. And so now it's going to be a situation, does he sign with LSU or does he sign at University of Miami of Florida? Blake, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Always great stuff. Always appreciate it, my man.
Anytime, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Blake.
All righty. Blake Ruffino does a great job on the RU Sirius LSU Network. That LSU football report was brought to you by the spirit of First American, a banking tradition since 1910. Also, you can keep up with all of the Lane Kiffin latest moves and breaking news about LSU football right here on the Big 870 WWL.